This episode of NadPod is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Need an example? Well, here you go. I can go to Squarespace right now and buy the domain name eggdevil.com. Once I have this, I can easily set up an online shop to sell PDFs of all my various deviled egg recipes. My favorite is one I've been working on for a few years that I like to call Dante's Eggferno. It's a perfect recreation of the circles of hell described in Dante's Divine Comedy, but made entirely of eggs, Dijon mustard, mayonnaise, and of course, my devilishly good proprietary spice blend. The best thing about Squarespace, though, is that it makes checkout absolutely seamless for my hungry customers by using simple but powerful payment tools. With Squarespace, you can accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay. And in certain eligible countries, you can offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So if you're ready to make your own egg devil's bargain and jump into the world of online business, head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That is 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain at squarespace.com/pawpaw. Egg hell yeah. Thanks for listening, folks.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon, dungeon, dun, dungeon, 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 dungeon,
Welcome to Dungeon Court.
Dun dun.
Wow, we don't even need to do it.
We don't even need
to do it anymore. We've got a new theme song.
Damn right. Big shout out to Sam Weiler. Thank you for making that beauty. Sam's Twitter handle is SamI_. I asked him if he had anything to promote, and he said not at the moment, but he wanted to second us on watching The Expanse. So,
okay. All right, I'll check it out.
Yes.
You're winning major points here.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, thank you, Sam. Very funny, awesome intro. We absolutely don't deserve it because the intros we were doing before were truly so bad.
You honor us.
Honestly, how dare you prevent us from using our mouths in all the fun ways we were before?
I still tried.
Sweet. Welcome to Dungeon Court, everybody. Court is now in session. Or does the dungeon bailiff say that? I don't remember. We're recording this after posting last week's episode at 6 a.m. So apologies in advance for me being likely tyrannical. Likely I'll rule in favor of all the DMs and punish all the players.
Supreme crit justice. Murphy shell... is not on enough sleep. So God bless those who try their cases today.
I feel like the shell has come off and now we're getting true Murph. This is like Murph unleashed is what we're about to see.
Yeah, let's confirm that Murph is Murph on 3 hours of sleep.
Let's dive in. I do kick it off. Hear ye. Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner presiding.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Bailey.
Shall we try our first case?
Let's do it.
I'm ready.
Okay. This one comes from Micah B. Honorable Judges and Omniscient Bailiff Jake, may it please the court. Yes, very nice. Very good.
Give him a moan. Come on. If you're omniscient, then you should be answering all the questions. I'm going to kick my feet up, have a nice coffee, and let Jake talk for 45 minutes.
Okay, fine. The Honorable Justice and Regular Guy Bailiff Jake, may it please the court. I was DMing my first D&D campaign, and during an encounter along the way to my town, players were attacked by a blind dime. Blind time, blind time. During the combat, the blind time jumped onto the horses of the wagon the players were using to get to town. A player wanted to use Witch Bolt, but I warned them that that would also hurt the horses as the electricity would travel through them as well in order to ground into the earth. The players argued that horses would be unaffected since it was a spell and was magical, so it did not have to obey physics. The spell states, a beam of crackling blue energy lances out toward a creature within range, forming a sustained arc of lightning between you and the target. Do spells still follow physical law, or do their magical nature mean that consequences outside the spell's verbiage cannot occur?
Okay, I want to start off with, I don't know how I'm going to fucking weigh in, but actually I do, I have some thoughts. My first thought though is I looked up blind dime and they're like little frog creatures.
They're cute.
Cool.
And I feel like frogs have a similar rubbery texture to tires, and tires deflect electricity.
I'm going to Google, are frogs tires real quick?
Can a frog be hit by lightning?
Can frogs be electrocuted? If you wear frogs on your feet.
Can frogs be tires?
Now, this actually will not weigh in on my opinion about this, but I just thought it was funny.
it's fascinating because, yeah, you could, frog skin is kind of tiry for sure.
Rubbery. Yeah. But they're also wet. They're also wet. They're a wet creature.
Yes, the moistness is going to be bad for getting electrocuted.
Can frogs be electrocuted? Because like it seems like like lightning could strike a little pond, and you don't see frogs just floating dead in the pond from being electrocuted all the time.
That's true.
That's interesting.
Well, I don't think that lightning rarely strikes like a big wet surface. I think it needs like kind of like a lightning rod or something to like ground it. And I don't think that for some reason, this is outside of my scientific grasp, but for some reason, like striking a big pond is not something that lightning likes to do.
Probably because it's afraid of frogs.
I'm pretty sure lightning is basically like ions in the sky reaching out to ions on the ground or something like that. It's not ions, but it's like they're types of like atoms that then they reach out to the ground. So already any kind of lightning that you create in D&D as a spell is not based off of those physics.
That is true. I will say though, anytime the DM says, here's the rule, I kind of want to side with them a little bit if they're being like,
that's because you're tired,
right? Yeah. I'm just like, stop, just listen to the person, my god. But I think Micah did the right thing, which is, you know, you let the person know, because if somebody, I understand the argument from the player, if they use a spell, it doesn't say in the spell that anything extra bad happens, and then their horse explodes. That feels pretty unfair. But Micah let them know ahead of time.
Ahead of time.
But that being said, I think spells don't work like they do in nature.
Yeah, because I know that there's like lots of fire spells, and only some of them will say anything in the area catches on fire that is affected by this.
Yeah.
But it has to be specified. There's a lot of fire spells that wouldn't. Yeah, I mean, logically, if you're creating a bunch of fire, right, all of the houses around it would catch on fire. Mm-hmm. But a lot of spells don't specify that that would happen, and only some do.
Here's the language that I think seals it for me is a beam of crackling blue energy lances out towards a creature within range. And I feel like the word lance implies that it is like, you know, like a piercing beam.
Yeah.
And now I guess like if the horse was wearing like armor or something, maybe that would like conduct the lightning, I guess you could argue that. But like, I think to me, this is like force lightning. This is like when like Palpatine electrocutes somebody. It's like it's sustained and like focused. So yeah, I think it would be, it's gonna roast this tire frog up nice, but maybe leave the horse alone.
I like the Palpatine defense makes a lot of sense. If Palpatine sees Luke riding a horse, he could shock him off that horse, and the horse would be fine. Palpatine, famous horse lover.
Let the record show that I apologize to Emily for bringing up Star Wars.
I didn't even know that that's what that was.
We have to stop. We have to.
I also didn't know.
Wow.
I just was like, okay. Sing a little song in your head, Emily, till it passes.
Just think about tire frogs. If you had four tire frogs, you could just have a little car. That'd be fun.
See, I went to look up, can a frog get electrocuted? And then I just saw some science, some scientific experiments that I wanted to know no more details about.
Yeah.
So I'm just living in a haunted zone right now.
As soon as you see a question mark, I want to just, an emphatic no that frogs can't get electrocuted. That's all I want.
Yeah. I was like hoping that it would just be like a biologist being like, did you know frogs actually actually can't get electrocuted. Yeah.
Instead, we found out something worse, which is, did you know that frogs can be studied in labs? Yeah.
Did you know that this question that sparked curiosity in you sparked a lot of sociopathic behavior in a scientist?
Did you dissect a frog when you were in high school? I did.
I never did. Yes.
Yeah, they all have they have like a little tiny metal rod inside of them. That,
they are the grounds. That's right. Them. I remember my biology teacher was struck by lightning by a frog seeking revenge.
Yeah, I will say though, if lightning's not hitting ponds and stuff, then how come my aunt used to tell me to get out of the pool when it was raining?
Then
how come?
Then why did my aunt not let me swim in a thunderstorm?
Fucking think about that.
Why did I have to go home? Why my extended family would pull me out of the pool when it was thundering and lightning?
Murph grilling a litigator on the floor of the court.
It's like, I don't know you, sir. I don't know anyone you're talking about.
Well, Murph, it's funny that you bring that up because we've got a surprise witness. Bring in Murph's aunt. Bring her in.
Oh, my God.
Seal!
Yeah. I will say, Micah, you did the right thing by, if this is how you want the spell to work, by warning your player beforehand, because that's just going to lead to worse arguments. But I do think I am going to rule with the player here. I think there's specific spells that affect their
area. I rule the player. However, I respect the DM's right to decide that that's how they want magic to work. But if you're in the player and you're like, okay, my DM has said magic is very literal in this world, I would exploit the shit out of that. Truly be witch bolting everyone who... every fucking mounted paladin coming for me.
Yeah.
And just be like, peace to all of your mounts. I'll never again fight another mount.
That's the real answer. Like, take what you... take the battle you lost and use it to fight the war. Like, that's what you need to do.
Try and trick your enemies into all having a pool party, because then you can just witch bolt the pool and they're fucking done. They're done. They're toast.
The big bad evil guy is Murph's aunt. Trying to make everyone get out of the pool.
On a side note, I do feel like we get a lot of cases of DMs being like, hey, I'm going to fuck up a horse. Is that okay? Is it okay if I just kill a horse?
I think it's that a horse is like, yes, they're an animal, but they're also like a utility. They're a mode of transportation. So a lot of times it's like slashing someone's tires, you know?
That's a good point, yeah.
So I feel like it's really good DMing to be like, all right, here's this unknown element. We have like an element that we can travel here or there, and it is something that can be destroyed as well.
Yeah.
The other thing is also, it's also just seems dangerous to me to start arguing any rules on like the laws of physics and stuff. Like,
yeah.
Because no one, like, you're not sitting at the table with a meteorologist.
Yeah. Right.
Like, just, and you get explanations like mine, which is like, I'm pretty sure lightning is an ion in the sky meeting an ion on the ground.
Yeah, we talked for a long time.
Learning while you're playing, and that's not a good place to be.
We talked for a long time about how frogs were rubbery and maybe couldn't be electrocuted. So, that's what you're dealing with D&D players.
The first tires were made of frogs. That's just a common fact.
And then you open yourself up to having a party where you're with like a physicist or something, and they calculate how fast they would be falling or something and are arguing with you about damage or something like that. And you just don't want to get into this. This is a whole bag of worms.
It feels like the move is just to be like, you can cast that lightning, but it's going to hit your horses. They're in the way. You don't have to be like, it's going to ground to the ground through the horses.
Don't base anything in any science at all. So I think, are we unanimous in ruling for the players here?
Yeah.
Seems like
I think
it.
So.
Okay.
So Micah must be punished,
brutal.
Which is tough, because I believe Micah sits on the Council of Elders.
Oh my goodness.
We need to raise a sword. Why do we have to fucking punish a Council of Elders?
We can't let it corrupt us.
They preside above us.
It was one of the benefits to that tier is that you can't be punished by your Supreme Crit.
Can Hercules so punish can Odysseus punish Athena? No.
No, we must make an
example
of them.
What's a king to a god?
Yeah, I think Micah cannot be punished.
I think Micah needs to write...
The court can be bought.
Micah needs to write a Council of Elders shout out to Dungeon Bailiff Jake.
Throw it in the comments, bud. All right. Our next case comes from Thomas MC. Thomas writes, Honorable Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner, and the lowly bottom feeder of Jake. All right.
Bottom feeder. Is it true, though? Is it true? Do you eat the muck at the bottom of the pond?
You curate these, Jake.
I, Yeah, I don't want to choose this, but I like the question.
That's a good question.
Okay, wow. Yeah.
Some people are nice to me. Some people are mean. I'm trying to be unbiased.
Between a rock and a hard place at the bottom of the pond.
Very nice. Can't be electrocuted, though. our party was about to begin a stealthy scouting mission around the outskirts of a town. With stealth in mind, our sorcerer asked our druid to cast Pass Without Trace. He had casted this on us several times in the past, so we all know he has it. Upon the request, however, our DM objected that this request was metagaming and cheating. I, the fighter, sided with the sorcerer, saying we all know our druid has the spell. The other three players at the table all agreed with the DM that requesting a spell is metagaming. Our cleric called it the definition of metagaming. In the end, the spell was not cast and nothing happened on the stealth mission anyway. We've gone wrong. Were we wrong to request a spell we know that a party member has?
What?
Or is that metagaming?
This fucking hurts my soul. This hurts my soul.
There's a small addendum that I don't think matters, but I just want to say it because they're right. It may be important to add that he did not use his character voice when he made the request.
I guess...
I really fundamentally feel like the most fun version of D&D is a team sport. And in a team sport, you can say, pass me the ball.
You know there's a ball.
We know
we're playing a sport. You acknowledge that, pass me the ball, then you say you're playing basketball, and then that's metagaming, actually.
If you watch like The Witcher show or play the games or something, if Geralt is with one of the sorceresses, if he's with like Yennefer or something, she'll be like, I'm going to teleport. Do you want to come with me? And he'll be like, no, I'll go on my own. Like they all have their own abilities. Yeah. They know what their abilities are. They'll say like, can you incapacitate this person? Can you do this? Like they know what their abilities are.
That's the point of traveling as a party.
Yeah.
Because like, you're like rounding out your skill sets.
I've played a lot of support casters. There are times when it feels rude when people are like, "Oh, can you make sure that you cast this on me?"
Right, yeah. Like you're
and
a
you're
servant.
Kind of like, "Ha ha,
right. I'm not
y'all.
A handbag."
but this is certainly not that case whatsoever. And even then, those people aren't metagaming; they're just being selfish.
Yeah,
and what is. Like, are they supposed to assume that it's a surprise every time the druid casts, Pass Without Trace? They're like, oh my god, I didn't know you could do that.
Impossible. Magic comes out of your hands? How?
But and then they instantly forget.
I think they're maybe splitting hairs. Like, maybe the DM and these other players, who, honestly, they shouldn't be teaming with the DM against you. They seem like kind of nerds.
That's what I'm saying is that like some people don't play D&D like it's a team sport, in which case I respect if that's what's fun for people, but that's truly not what's fun for me.
Yeah, you guys should be a team unit. You guys should be trying to womp your DM. Like my players are very mean to me in the game and outside of the game.
And that's how you know. That's
and
what
that's
you
how
want.
You know we're good. I feel like they're splitting hairs. I feel like the table they want to be at, instead of calling it by, you know, Pass Without Trace or mentioning actual spell mechanics, they want to be like, Moxora, I need a little something to get into this building. Do you have any spell for the occasion? Like,
they
so don't fucking cheesy.
Like, then you're just it's almost more cringy than just being like,
yes.
Moxora, cast Pass Without Trace. Like maybe just give it the name of something else. Yeah. I don't know. It seems weird.
Like
if only
Trace
we could pass. Without
of...
trace.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, just do it. I would suggest you just do that, being like, ah, if only there was some magical way to cure our wounds. And look directly at the DM.
Maybe some word that provided some healing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Metagaming seems more metagaming when you say metagaming. Like, that's, to me, it's like, as soon as you call it out, that's more metagamey.
Yeah. I think that term, like, while it has merit, can be kind of a scourge on a table. In the same way, like, railroading can.
To say the same thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just like anytime you don't like something, it kind of can be considered metagaming. But like this seems, the only argument I can make in favor is that like maybe this is like a hard RP table. And like if you like are like switching to regular voices and kind of plotting in that kind of dry strategic tone, I could see that like rubbing up against like the kind of like theater that you're trying to produce at your table. But I don't know. This seems like a very harsh voices. Judgment on this very innocent situation.
This is kind of wild to me. I feel
This metagaming, is drama. This is like this makes me think of like doing theater in high school.
Yeah. You and your friends have other shit to work out.
Unnecessary drama, sides being taken. It's just
you
lesbians.
Should go in character. My thespians, please. We are all in character now.
This is why I did theater in high school and then never again. I loved to perform. The world of it was a lot.
It sounds like they just want you to say that you want Pass Without Trace without saying you want Pass Without Trace, because it's insane to think that your character wouldn't know what it was, because they do know what it is.
Yeah, I think very fundamentally, though, we can say this is not metagaming.
This is weird. Yeah. No, metagaming would be like if we've got a 4-person party here, two of us are in one room, two of us are in the other room, and we're acting as if we know everything the other party is learning. You know what I mean? If like,
right.
I'm going to tell you the only clear examples of metagaming I can think of would be looking up a monster you're fighting online. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There are questions like that this week.
Yeah. That's not cool.
And that, my friends, is metagaming. And of course you should never do that. Like that is not interesting, but you are allowed to, if you have personally encountered this in your studies, you're allowed to know this.
I think this table, it sounds like they wouldn't be happy with you being like, I want to run away, but I only have a speed of 25 feet. They'd be like, oh, did you just say a stat? Good sir. what are feet?
You pulled back the curtain.
We know none of this.
Oh my God, there's a grid beneath our feet. There's a grid right beneath us.
I had suspended my disbelief, and my disbelief is crashing back down.
We are but miniatures.
Yes, we super side with the player here.
I also think it's fun. It's really fun. I personally, again, not everyone enjoys the teamwork aspect. I personally really enjoy talking about each other's abilities and coming up with strategies. Like,
yeah,
I think
so
that's
fun.
I think that genuinely in warfare, that's what you would do.
Yeah.
That is
strategizing. Strategy is not metagaming.
That is literally what strategy is. It's like, I'm going to go here and shoot my gun, and you go here and shoot your gun.
I have shit you do on night one if you're like an adventuring party, too.
Yeah.
It's like, this is what I can do.
Yeah.
Show me your moves.
I'm picturing like somebody like setting a like big boulder on fire and launching it from a catapult, and then like the people storming the castle being like, metagaming!
What? Did you plan this whole siege?
How did you know?
So fucked up.
How did you know that fire mage knew how to use fire? Metagamer.
Everything has to be a surprise.
What is this fire you speak of?
How doth thy conjure flame from thy hand?
You are one of Satan's metagamers.
Oh, just metagame. Yeah, just roleplay so hard. Act like
so
you never
dumb.
Heard of anything.
Yeah.
What is this stealth? I know not of stealth.
Roll a d20. What is a d20?
A die? I wish not to die. I wish to live.
Just play fantasy Amelia Bedelia. Yeah, that's what you need to do here.
What are we going to punish our DM and the, frankly, the turncoat players? They're the worst of all.
They're the ones that are more at fault.
They're the worst of all. Yeah.
I think they have to be, they have to role play surprise by every spell that any of them casts.
I think they have to role play everything they do. Maybe they do a live theatrical performance of their D&D game in front of an audience that doesn't know what D&D is.
No. Even better, they have to watch a live theatrical performance of someone else's D&D game.
Whoa.
That they have
context
for.
Go to a NADPOD show.
I sentenced you to buy tickets to NADPOD Live.
I sentenced you to go to our next tour coming 2021.
Yeah, the Savannah Margarita Mayhem one, because that one will make the least amount of sense.
Yeah. I like what you were saying about forcing them to LARP. Like like incarcerated LARPing, I guess is what it would be, where like they're
in LARPerating. You know,
exactly. They're like on the side of the highway picking up trash, but they are wearing LARPing gear or something like that.
Oh, okay, cool.
Or maybe that you're just like,
we
don't
should
even have to be...
sentence more people to plant trees and pick up trash.
Yeah, community service. Yeah.
But while dressed as wizards.
Yeah, you need to plant some trees dressed as wizards.
Yeah, and act like you don't know what
you have to act like you don't know what trees are. You have to be shocked every time you plant a tree. What is this stick?
Plant growth.
What?
And you can't look up how to plant a tree to give it the best chance of life. You have to just guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And hope you're right.
Yeah, because you're a druid and you think magic is real.
All right, so ordered. Okay, our next case comes from Eric L. May it please the court. My DM's big bad evil guy tried casting an attack spell, but it got counterspelled. He then said that his big bad evil guy cast Misty Step right after being counterspelled. I argued that he had already cast a spell, so he can't cast another this turn. He told me that since it was counterspelled, he didn't actually cast the previous spell, but he did use up an action, and he still had a bonus action, allowing him
this
to use Misty
really
Step.
This is a really interesting question that I have no clue, and there's definitely we're going to find a really good answer, and I've never thought of that.
And everyone's going to be happy across the land. My party... everyone is going to be united universally in agreement with the court. My party and I argued that the DM did eventually... and the DM did eventually take our side, but we were all left unsure of who was right or who was wrong. My DM usually will take our side to keep things smooth, but I'm worried we may have cheated. I humbly await your verdict.
I do like the coming to the court with a... like your hands behind your back with a kind of like a showing of guilt. I like this like self-honesty that you've brought.
Right. Because they, at the table, this person actually won, but it's eaten away at them.
Yeah.
Can you walk
me through the steps of this again? Because I'm still trying to wrap my brain around the economy.
So the bad guy cast a spell, which was counterspelled. And then right after that, he cast Misty Step. And the player said, you can't cast two spells in a turn. But he said, since he was counterspelled, he didn't actually cast a spell.
So let's read the
I found a thread, and they say, counterspell states that the spell fails and has no effect, but it does not say that the spell is not
cast. Was not cast, yes.
Whoa.
So, which I think is pretty compelling. Because hearing this story, I was like, oh, I would never think that I could... But that is there is maybe some wiggle room, but I think that that's a pretty decisive answer.
Yeah.
That it says it fails, has no effect, but it doesn't say that it's not cast.
Yeah, that is the, you attempt to.
That's true, because if you get counterspelled, you still lose that spell slot. It's not like you get that spell slot
back. True. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is it. Yeah, you've cast a spell. You attempt to interrupt a creature in the process of casting a spell. If the creature is casting a spell of third level or lower, blah, blah, blah. Yes.
Yeah. So I think that's true. I think that the big bad guy could not have cast Misty Step after casting another spell.
I think noble attempt by this DM, because I do think that's a cool move to have one spell not work and try to use another one. Unfortunately, I do think the players are right in that it counts as casting a spell.
But it was interesting logic, even though it ended up not being true. I still give the DM credit for pushing the limit.
Interesting logic doesn't let you pass free.
Thank you.
Without trace from the court system.
I'm just saying
Jake.
It doesn't feel like a sleazy move. It feels like they were trying, but I understand now in reading it that it actually would. Does count as a cast spell.
An honest mistake, but there must be blood.
Yes.
Sometimes we hear stories of DMs that are being really cheesy and like just feel like...
The last party that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
unlike the last person who seems like they just need a new crew of friends, seem like you've got a great crew going on.
Right. Your DM gave in and you were the one that brought the court. Like, this is a nice crew. This is a crew I could get a drink I think.
Unfortunately, we have to viciously punish your DM for being a little bit wrong.
Well,
undid their thing.
This case should have never been brought.
They undid it, but I think they still have to pick up trash and plant trees.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could we also counterspell the case and just like dismiss it altogether?
Oh, or we could counterspell the punishment, because I'd like the case to be in the record.
Right. It should be. Mm. But I think Emily's right. Maybe just one tree.
Yeah,
but
let's three and make sure
tree.
That you go to a neighborhood that's really going to like benefit from that sort of canopy.
Yeah. Probably a sequoia, we're thinking.
Yeah,
a redwood or a sequoia. It should have a big
just
canopy.
Just a huge sequoia on a suburban street.
Yeah, if it could be in Austin, that would be perfect. Yeah,
ideally, and it completely wrecks any sidewalk around it.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm. Let the roots get in there deep, and if anyone tries to stop you, you have to you have to tie yourself to it. That is your tree to defend.
This is your tree. Mm-hmm. We should plant a tree as a group. I like this idea.
I like planting trees.
Yeah, you took like a whole class on planting trees.
Cool. Well, I'll plant one in this DM's front yard, actually.
Mm. Oh, yes, that'll be another punishment. We are going to plant a tree with huge roots. So we're going to destroy your home.
That's it, yeah. We're going to plant a yucca tree right next to your house, and roots are going to wreck your fucking crawl space, bitch.
Yeah. Like, if you had a wine cellar, you're not going to anymore.
You're fucking done.
Okay. All your fucking expensive wines that we know you've been collecting for 30-plus years are getting wrecked by yucca roots.
That's in the root system now, too.
Say goodbye to your septic. There's going to be roots in there, bitch.
Yeah.
That yucca is going to be fucking buzzed off of Dom Perignon.
You're going to have to call the rooter so many times. There's just going to be so many little roots up in there.
This is wild. This is the first ever episode, I think, we've kicked off with all player wins. Right? We haven't had a single DM win yet, right?
I think I'm feeling pretty player leaning today. You were saying you're feeling DM leaning. I'm feeling pretty player leaning.
Well, apparently, I mean, I've been on the player side every time, so.
We'll see how this next case plays, which is more of an update. So we'll call this a brief recess. Okay. We're like an update from Blastin' Grandma, as it were.
Oh my gosh, my That's hero! Right.
Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Rocket Money. Did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about? Streaming services, lapsed free trials, charges lurking in the dregs of your bank account, taking your money without you realizing it. I personally play World of Warcraft around the holidays, and I always forget to cancel, and they end up squeezing a couple extra months out of me. Well, that's where Rocket Money comes in. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's rocketmoney.com/PAWPAW. Goodbye, sweeties.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Raycon. You all know me. I am always on the go. And you know what I love to bring with me wherever I go? It's my Raycon Everyday Earbuds, folks. Raycon offers amazing quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. Don't believe me? Well, how about their tens of thousands of five-star reviews? Raycon's optimized gel tips are designed to fit comfortably in your ears and actually stay there. That is correct. I use mine at the gym, and I can tell you what, they stay put, folks. My Raycons come with me everywhere, and with 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life, I don't have to worry about whether they're up for the task. They've also got three customizable sound profiles, earbud tap functions, and noise isolation. So go to buyraycon.com/pawpaw today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pawpaw. That is buyraycon, RAYCON.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
My favorite case we've ever had.
And Alex J is still struggling with Grandma.
Oh, no!
Alex writes, may it please the exalted justices of the High Crit, Axford, and Tanner, the powerful and handsome Bailiff Hurwitz, and the Pebble Pot Justice Murphy.
Wow.
He's really trying to get you off his side.
This is
update on Blastum Grandma. He didn't know you were going to be cranky today, too.
I just punched my monitor.
I feel like I have another losing cause on my hands. The latest part of the campaign had them battling three elven conquest kings who had imperialistically took over the homeland of a group of goblins. During the battle, cool. using mechanics used in Crown of Candy, an elf who had an ent companion died, and Blastum Grandma wanted to take the ent on as a mount. I offered that she could have a familiar like Baby Groot, but she rolled a persuasion check stupid high to persuade the ent to come along with her. What do I do? I fear the Supreme Crit Justices Axford, her favorite, and Tanner and Pebblepot Justice Murphy have created a monster who might end up being my own personal BBEG.
Okay. I think what
Is
you have
Grandma,
to do first
has
off,
she grown too powerful?
Blasting Grandma, like riding along in the trees of an ent is amazing. However, there are disadvantages. I don't know what ent stats are, but you can make new ent stats in which the ent is not very fast. You can, look, Grandma blasting from the bow of a ent is really all I want to see.
Quick reminder to everyone at home, she is 91 years old, so that's right. Fucking awesome.
Yeah,
she
has a tree. I feel like you just give the ent riding horse stats. It's not going to break your game. Mm-hmm. You can just get a horse.
And you can fucking attack that ent, Yeah. Like, Grandma loves the ent. And, I think
you're gonna
that Grandma...
You're going to burn Grandma's ent?
Go hard at Grandma.
You absolutely can.
Target
you absolutely
Grandma's
can.
Mount?
You know what you can also do? You can nerf Grandma's ent by fucking it up a bit. Maybe you don't actually kill it, but it gets nerfed because, some kind of fungus comes to it, and it's therefore...
Holy shit.
Ooh. Its stats
it's root
are
rot.
Decreased.
A bunch of squirrels
I know a
start
lot
living in
about.
It.
Look, there's a lot of fucking insects that can fuck up a tree.
Oh, yeah, fucking weevils get in there, you're done.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Give us your grandma.
Whoa.
Yeah. You don't want her. You're clearly not having fun. Yeah. Give us your grandma. We'll play a great little D&D session.
We've been thinking about kicking Caldwell off the show anyway, so we need a new member of the cast.
Thinking about it, I thought we decided we just didn't know how to do it.
I thought maybe we'd just expand the cast a little bit.
I actually was surprised when I got on the Zoom and he was here.
Yeah, it was shocking because we, on our private text thread, we're all kind of like, are you going to say it to Caldwell? Are you going to say it to Caldwell? And kind of no one said they were going to do it. So now we're in this awkward position of we have to.
Right. I mean, I guess my phone's been on airplane mode for a while.
Oh, no, we didn't text you. No.
We're not ready to tell you yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
what is this right now? What's happening right now? Is this just kind of like...
We need to see if the grandma's available. We need to we need a Tarzan from, one cast member to the other smoothly.
We need to make sure that she has a good Ethernet cable so that we can have smooth zooms with grandma.
And we're going to send her a mic setup and stuff.
This all hinges on her Ethernet.
We're
going
to audition to see how smooth her zoom is to see if it's even feasible.
Should I just send her my mic and zoom probably is what should happen?
That would be good, but then we might need to record pickups or record something while she's still setting
up.
So
that's
feel
a good
like,
point.
We're just gonna buy her a new one.
Yeah, I'll buy her a new one. I guess is what's gonna happen.
We're gonna split it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of thinking maybe out of Sydney's college fund, maybe.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, I can dip into that. Right, we just set it up, so there's not a ton in there, but
no, we have access to that.
Cause... We're gonna have to upgrade Grandma's internet too through Sydney's fund because she needs to be on business FiOS. Yeah. We need her getting at least 300 up.
We should buy out all the kind of other houses. On the block too, just so she's not competing for internet during prime time.
The chicks out.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Yeah, let's at least buy the house on either side of her, so that there's not annoying neighbors having gardening done.
Yeah,
or something.
No,
right.
So
for noise
can
purposes,
I be the grandma liaison
congestion.
Here, maybe? So I pop in every once in a while. I'm kind of the
if
producer on a talk show or something like that.
You wouldn't be on mic, but you could pop over and give her, drop off food, whatever.
We can't stop you from being friends with someone in real life. We can only stop you from being on our show that you're not on
you
anymore.
Say you say know that, but I will text people and they'll be like, I was told I'm not allowed to talk to you.
We can stop other people from being friends with you, but we can't
but
stop
yeah,
that.
You can, right. you can try again.
I'm just so if I go all out for this grandma, could it maybe salvage our relationship?
Oh no, grandma's going all out for us.
Yeah.
So that we can finally get rid of you.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
finally.
I guess I'll mail you the gavel.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, I would love to see Grandma work that gavel.
I'd hate for anything to happen to it in the mail, though. So if you could drive it and hand deliver it here in Brooklyn, yeah,
drive
be
it
nice.
To Blasting Grandma.
I mean, as long as she's in the contiguous U.S., it shouldn't be too big a problem. So yeah, I'll get
she's
right actually, on that.
She's in Guam, so right. She is U.S. based, but it's Guam, unfortunately.
All right, but she can still vote. So okay, great. Mm-hmm. I'm signing off.
Cool. All right. Yeah, Grandma's in the waiting room.
But going back to the case, I think I am. I can't be objective on this. I simply can't. So of course, I'm going to vote with Grandma. However, I understand the DM's concern. It's all completely valid. My only thought would be that you could find ways to, like I said, some sort of, you know, maybe they meet some sort of like evil druid who puts like a fungus, and then, you know, right. there's ways to nerf the ant in a way that maybe could still feel like fun role play. If Grandma is just like, don't touch. Don't you dare touch my N. Then I have no response to that.
Wow, she's already on the show.
Yeah, you can't say no to Grandma.
Just make it a riding horse or something. Just pull from the mounts that would be like appropriate for that level, and just have it be a moving tree instead of a horse.
Yeah. And do keep on updating us every single time, because
I want to hear what
fix those typos though. Because up top there were some disparaging words about me. You're supposed to say that about Jake. I understand that it can get confusing, but I'm Murph. This is my voice. Jake is the other guy.
Other guy. Barely on the podcast.
If your grandma's going to be a member of the cast, she needs to learn that this is how it works.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, we've got a case from Johnny P. Johnny writes, if it may please the honorable bailiff and possibly some pretty good judges. Very good, strong start.
This is a rebellion.
Because they write like favorable things to me, so I pick them, but then the cases don't get tried very fairly. So I'm a DM for a home game, and in the first town they visit, I mention the regional famous restaurant TGI Mondays, a depressing version of that other restaurant. This makes everyone laugh, and of course they try to go see if there's anything to it. When they get there, they're eating, they ask to do investigation and perception checks. I allow it, and two players happen to roll nat 20s. I give them a long-winded description of the restaurant. Even with that two 20s, though, there is nothing special about this restaurant. They were annoyed because I mentioned it twice and it made it seem like pointing them there. Am I wrong for just making a stupid name for a place with nothing happening?
You're not. I mean, it's funny, but also I understand where your buyers are coming from. You mentioning it multiple times and then them going there and then you just have nothing.
Yeah. I mean, it seems easy enough to, like, if they roll a nat 20 on an inspection check, it's like, oh, yeah, there's a secret menu. You can get a potion. I feel like there's, like, ways to, like, get out of this.
Or they'd be privy to, like, restaurant drama. Like, actually, Kyle used to date Ben over here. So
I really like that.
And, now you know they're, like, on the outs.
One of them used to do the night shift. One of them used to do the lunch shift. But now they're both on lunch shift.
Oh, see? And then you drama. Can play some of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you could also, though, like, you made a big deal of TGI Monday, so they thought it was important. I think it's okay to, in that moment, be like, okay, they've really invested in this. I had some kind of salacious thing was happening in another place, but you know what? They just rolled two nat 20s. It's happening here now. I think it's okay to be like, okay, the werewolf that was, like, chained up in a room fighting their curse in the inn is now in, like, a storage pantry in the TGI.
Yeah, shit's going down at the TGI Mondays.
Yeah, because you probably had something planned for that session, I would hope. Unless you just put all of this work into this. Yeah. I'm going to say...
No, it was actually at Emerald Tuesdays. That was the problem. Yeah. They needed to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm going to say... I'm going to imagine that the TGI Mondays joke didn't take all of the prepping to come up with that joke.
As good as it is.
As good as it is, I would have to imagine you had other things planned. So, like, yeah, if the players are there and really seem to want something to happen, if you had a dungeon planned or something, or if you had them overseeing something or walking in on something.
God, yeah.
Why not have it happen at TGI Mondays?
That's the slogan for TGI Mondays.
So why funny. Not? Like, why not? There's a trapdoor that leads yes. to the place they were supposed to go.
Yeah.
A secret dungeon trapdoor in like the pantry of a TGI Mondays is so good. That's a hook.
Yeah. That's a freebie for anyone listening.
And then it implicates the restaurateur of yeah. TGI Mondays, who originally was a throwaway character, but now is pivotal to the story. That is just fun, collaborative storytelling.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. I'm trying to read between the lines here, because just taking their word at its like base value at just like what the question was, it is like, it's fine to just have a tavern that's just a tavern or a restaurant that's just a restaurant. But when yeah. they say that, they mentioned it multiple times.
Yeah. I'm like, I feel like it more this, than once.
This is what you wanted, right? You wanted to trick your players?
Do you think the situation is that they mentioned it once and no one laughed, so they mentioned it again until they got a chuckle?
I actually think they mentioned it once. The players had fun with the idea. Mm, so they were like, oh, you like yeah. this. Let's keep exploring this. I also would have to know how the players asked it, right? Because like, you can be, sometimes someone's like, if they were just like, yeah, yeah, the TGI Mondays, we're going to go to the TGI Mondays. And you're like, okay, cool. Nothing's really here. But they're like, no, we're going to go. We want to do an investigation check. Then it is kind of on them. But if yeah. you were kind of
you
like
let them go. Yeah.
encouraging yeah. them, then yeah, I think pivot and put something important that was elsewhere
right.
there.
And yeah, you sip the daiquiri and you taste something in the daiquiri you haven't tasted in years. It's a forbidden essence that you know will lead you to some secret truth if only you could discover it. Yeah, there you go.
The TGI Mondays commercial.
Secret of the daiquiri.
I would never buy a fucking cocktail that was called Forbidden Essence. Never.
It's a perfume. It's just a perfume
so
that
gross.
They put in a cocktail.
Yeah,
Murph has a habit of ordering something that's embarrassing to order. What are some of the things that you've ordered?
I just like a cocktail. So, you know, if yeah. I have to, you know.
He always tries to kind of swallow
like,
the sillier
can
names.
Can I get the slippery rabbit? The slippery little rabbit. Yeah.
And you, when you order a cocktail, you never know what kind of glass it's going to come in. And like, I always want it to just be like something in a rocks glass. That's the goal. And then it comes in this like really highball thing that's like overflowing on the sides with like
not,
a garnish.
And it's not even like a fragile masculinity thing. It's just like,
it's hard to drink.
I don't want a little like stem. I'm scared. I'm going to break it.
Yeah. That's the fucking thing with those drinks. They fill to the top of the...
I don't think it's fragile masculinity to not want to say slippery rabbit
to
a stranger.
No, I know. Yes. These are two separate issues.
That spans the sexes.
Yeah. There was definitely a 5-year period where every restaurant was trying to get you to say the word slut whenever you ordered something.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Can I get the skinny slut sandwich, please?
Yeah.
And you feel bad. It's no one's having a good time with that. I'm glad that that's over.
I still say it, actually, even when I'm getting a BLT.
You're like, I know what this one used to be called. Yeah. I don't forget. I have a long memory. I'm
dirty
like
little tomato slut,
the
please.
Usual, right? You know what it is.
You bite into your tomato slut. There's a note hidden inside. Help me. I'm in the basement of the TGI Mondays.
I do, though, think any you're inviting your players to go investigate that anytime. That's, you know, if you guys are going to a town... In our campaign, I'm not like, here's the tavern where you might know some people. Here's the estate of the evil vampire. And here's a fireworks factory. It's like, of course they're going to go to the fucking fireworks factory. Mm-hmm. So there better be something going on at the fireworks factory. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It makes sense. Yeah. That's true.
I feel like if I agree with Emily where like, had you led
wow,
in with like,
you.
This is just a regular ass restaurant, then it's all their fault at that point, and then you're just mm-hmm. goofing around. But if you've been like, you guys go into town, you see like a well in the center of town, you see a TGI Mondays restaurant,
right.
I don't know, like a couple of houses, what do you guys do?
Yeah, it's also true that the more you say it's regular, the more they're just going to want to like scratch under the surface of that.
It just looks like a regular restaurant.
Yeah, you have to keep saying it just looks like a regular restaurant.
Is this, are we going to weigh with the players again here?
I think I'm gonna weigh with the players because it's a tiebreaker. And they insulted me again.
I think I'm going to weigh with the players because I think that I totally understand where the DM is coming from. Mm-hmm. But I think in the future, if your players get really into something, like, I don't think that there's anything wrong with SDM being like, this letter, this scandalous letter of conspiracy we're going to find is now in the TGI Mondays.
I'm literally only ruling against the DM because I know this is the reaction they wanted. You did it. You did the prank. Don't do the prank. Piss off all your friends and then come to us to justify your prank.
You think it was intentional? Yes. I think it wasn't intentional.
Of course. Making a boring restaurant that nothing was going on at that you brought up multiple times.
They love that this happened.
This is a prank.
Mm-hmm. It was a prank on the players, though. And now we've pranked them by forcing them to plant 40 dogwood trees.
Wow.
beautiful. Inside they of TGI have great Fridays. Flowers. My mom's dogwood trees are beautiful.
I think, this DM, I think, needs to eat at TGI Fridays.
Breakfast.
Unfortunately, for breakfast. And you had to get dinner. You had to get dinner, a hearty dinner for breakfast.
I think, I think that they need to plant a tree at TGI Friday.
Right, in the kitchen.
In the center and watch nature reclaim the space.
I am legend style.
Beautiful.
A mighty oak.
What do you guys think? Do we have time for one more case?
Yeah, we definitely have time for one more.
Ricardo writes, may it please the court, but most importantly, Bailiff Jake. Thanks, Ricardo.
Impossible. You're going to lose.
Oh, my God. This is a lot.
I'm going to stop reading them. I feel bad for these guys.
We're going to go for a sweep of players here. Unless this person's
a
player.
My case is not against a player. Actually, this confirms it. We're going to have an all-player episode because this last case is not even against a player or a DM.
Ricardo writes,
my case is not against a player or DM, but against the dice gods themselves.
Wow.
Okay, I have a lot of opinions.
You watch where you tread, your friend.
I have a dice.
I would say the dice gods are like an Old Testament god, just like really punish you and ask for sacrifice.
Yeah, a hush falls over the courtroom when this case is read.
Yeah, we're all deeply religious.
I make the sign of the 10-sided die.
I have a dice that has been blessed with holy power and always delivers in the most critical moments and also happens to be the first D20 I bought. I love them dearly and have been and have great sentiment for them, but at the same time, I became suspicious of them. I checked my dice, rolled them many times, and tabulated the results. My table revealed that most of the rolls were over 8. I also rolled 16 and 20 a lot of the time. My question is this: should I accept the blessing the dice gods have given me, or should I relinquish this power for the betterment of storytelling and my conscience? My fate is in your hands, venerable judges and powerful bailiff.
I love this question. I love this person. I love that you're asking this question. I've never had a dice that rolls consistently. And also when I roll, because I have six dice for Fia, I roll them each twice to figure out what I'm gonna roll with. And I know I choose the ones that either roll a 20, a 1, or a 2. Mm-hmm. So it's like I do want failure as much as success. Mm-hmm.
So there is a fix for this. There is a way to check the balance of your dice. You can use it with salt water. You can I knew it was something with water, but I'm Googling it right now on Lifehacker. Lifehacker, shout out everyone.
Good.
You can grab a cup, fill it with a third cup of room temperature water and add about 6 tablespoons of salt. Put your die in it and spin it around in the water because it'll float. If your die keeps stopping with the same number facing up, something inside the die is making it unbalanced. If something is truly off, then it'll keep floating to the same number. So there is a way to test this. They might just be really lucky. So I would, before you throw them out, confirm that they are weighted. My guess is that they're just lucky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say we are going to need a further ruling on this. We're going to need an update. But should we maybe offer like 2 possible solutions? I guess like either keep the dice and use them, or like what sort of banishment shall we offer forward for the dice? Like how shall we How should we retire these dice, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, the first thing I do want to say one thing, which is that, like, if you find out that it's not weighted, I think that you could save it as, like, okay, this is a roll I really
dice.
Care about.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So
like
it would
that.
Be like, you would, like, your everyday rolls, you would just have a different set. But mm-hmm. then, like, it would maybe be kind of a fun thing to be like, okay, I fucking need this. I'm going to bring in, like, my best dice. Because your best right, dice yeah, will A-team. Still occasionally not deliver.
Yeah, get
so
a little
you're
case
using
for
it,
it
way less frequently. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bust
and
it out
will
of the
be
case.
Like a fun thing.
I like that. Oh, a little treasure chest.
Yeah. Also, the way I feel like if a die were truly weighted, that it would be more likely to land on a single number or numbers that were clustered mm-hmm. around each other. Because the dice are pretty random. So the idea that you could just have dice that were more likely to roll like 10 through 20 than 1 through 9 seems strange to me. I don't know. Perhaps there is a way to weigh it to slightly.
I was just looking if like 16 and 20 were close. They're kind of are.
16 and 20 are close-ish. I don't know. I still think do that little water test.
Yeah.
And if it passes the water test, then you can decide, you know what, this is my special dice that I only use for an important role.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You should definitely do the water test, because if it passes the test, you're blessed. And that's
yeah,
pretty like then
it
like then
the
dice gods
you're blessed.
Then the dice gods are real.
Then
and
you are a true
revered.
Paladin of Dice Christ.
Do you know yeah. I have yes. a question? I have a question though. I wonder if that dice, I'm assuming that you're using this dice for one character. I'm so curious if that dice would roll like that for a different character. Because whoa. I've had dice that suck for one character and are awesome for other characters.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the Dice Christ works in mysterious ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have found weirdly that 20 ways the first D20 I ever had rolls better than my other dice. And it was with like the D&D starter set, so I don't think they wouldn't fuck that up. That's pretty big.
I think it's the grease. I think it's that his dark material's dust getting all over your dice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like building up like entropy and like a connection to the universe. And like the more it's on there, the more that like your will and desires are transmitted through the dice.
Yeah, Dice Christ is just real. Just believe.
Yeah, Dice Christ is real.
Just believe.
Yeah, don't worry about that. That fact isn't being tried today.
Yeah.
We're just wondering if Dice Christ has touched your dice.
Right, yeah.
Right. Can I offer a potential solution? If you're feeling like you're ready to retire these dice, maybe put them in a bottle and toss them out to sea so that then somebody else can find the dice Jumanji style.
Mm. Like a mermaid, like a D&D playing mermaid.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Or like, you know, someone on another shore when the bottle like eventually bobs to like another landmass. But yeah,
you
maybe
could also
mermaid.
Give it to like a cute niece or nephew
yeah.
who's just playing for the first time and then they get to have lots of success.
Cool. So a blood relative or the ocean. You decide.
Yeah.
Those are your choices.
Litter or give it to a close family member.
Yeah. Pass it on to
or
a
maybe,
child or
you
throw
know
it
what?
In the sea.
You could also plant it with the seed for a tree and see
whoa.
If maybe a tree that
yeah.
that grows dice.
Oh my God. Could you imagine just
sprouts.
Like berry like flavored edible D20 dice? That would
just
be so
like
cool.
Just like biting into a pomegranate and instead of all those little gems, it's just D20s.
That's what
gummy,
I want.
Gummy
I want to
dice.
Roll dice until I'm done with them and then I eat
that
them.
That would be so dangerous. You would you would accidentally eat a regular D20 instantly.
For sure.
It's also so like it's dangerous because you'd just be rolling it across a dirty table before yeah. you eventually popped it in your mouth.
It would just be like a really dirty gusher.
Yeah,
I think
but
it's
be. We should make them and put them in the NADPOD shop for sure.
Yeah,
and we should call them dirty gushers.
Yeah, so open us up to being sued for dirty gushers.
Wow, get your hands on our dirty gushers.
Yeah, I think treat this dice that Dice Christ has blessed you with like mm-hmm. you're in Game of Thrones and this is like an old family heirloom sword. Keep
yeah.
it like
mm-hmm.
on the wall, but like when the time
but
comes,
yeah,
you take it down.
Oh, or wear it yeah. in a little pouch around your neck, like Davos Seaworth with his fingers.
Yeah,
yeah, and like
whoa.
Don't even take it off to shower,
so he can remember the justice.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Let's take a moment of silence for Dice Christ, though. I think.
Oh no, actually, Dice Christ
is everywhere.
Prefers to be praised in song.
Yeah.
We all know this.
Yeah, of course, yes.
And let's all sing the hymn that we also all know.
Our Christ is an awesome Christ. He rolls. Our bountiful dice he rolls. The 20s and 1s, it is ever so much fun.
And constitution.
And really, we couldn't possibly fall further than that. I think we're going to call this one. Thank you all so much for listening. You can listen to more cases. We're just going to be taking a brief recess over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Ooh. Don't sing yet.
Ooh. Sorry.
Does anybody have anything they would like to plug?
Yeah, I do have something I'm going to plug.
Kay.
Plug it.
Okay, so I just read the book The Poppy War by R.F. Kuang. It was really, really good, but also Mike Trapp's wife, Laura Cherkis, copy edited it.
Oh, whoa. Nice.
It was crazy. Cool. I was like just at a party and I was like, I was at Caldwell's birthday and I was like, oh yeah, I'm reading this book and like, it's like the fantasy world feels pretty consistent and I'm wondering like, do copy editors ever work with it? And she was like, oh, I did one called The Poppy War. And I was like, that's the fucking book I'm talking about.
Whoa. That's crazy.
I heard you talking about this book and I wanted to come over and talk to you about it, but I was talking to someone else and it would have been rude. So I'm glad to finally get the book recommendation now.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, Mike Trapp's wife, copy edited it, which is cool. And she even has like a little shout out in the acknowledgments. And it was a fun book. It was like a fantasy book that started in a school. And I was kind of like, okay, fantasy school. Sorry, the cat just did something crazy behind me. But it goes in really crazy directions. Very cool.
Nice.
Tight.
Yeah, I'll second that recommendation.
I'll third it.
Great.
Oh. Rocket.
That's what we're plugging this week. Thank you all so much for listening. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use. At CHMurph is me, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Jake Horowitz is Jake, and at EAXford is Emily. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation.
Praise Dice Christ.
It's the end of the show, everybody, and that means I need to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders, starting with Brad D., Jeffrey S., Haldor Frostback, Steelbreaker, and Matt M., D&D players so opposed to metagaming that they fully cut themselves off from society. Now their table is a stump, their dice are rocks, and their minds are at peace. Jordan DJ, Cutter W., Jibe G., Zolodolo, and Dylan B., wizard comedians famous for their hilarious witch bolt routine, in which they try to figure out which witch bolt the other is referring to, the bit kills. Literally, as part of the show, the entire audience gets repeatedly electrocuted. Schubert the Mushroom, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Andrew M., Beardman Dan, and Scott D., druids in charge of overseeing the tree planting punishments handed down by the Supreme Crit. Sometimes they cast Speak with Plants on the tree so that they can privately joke about the plaintiffs behind their backs. Danny P., Mixologist Michael McD., Balnor's Boy, Andrew B., and Kevin S., blasting Grandma's new D&D party. When she's not playing with her grandchild, she's DMing an incredibly unbalanced Waterdeep heist homebrew in which everyone has an ent and favorable dice rolls can be bought in exchange for Wither's Originals. Please let us join. Justin I., Ragnar Fairdwind, TJM the Gnome Barbarian, Elena M., and Trele the Crayfay, bishops in the Church of Dice Christ. Instead of tall hats, they wear massive D20 helmets, which they roll at the beginning of service. If they roll a 1, church is canceled. If they roll a 20, church is still canceled, but also everyone gets donuts. Truly, this religion will unite the world. Jared E., Austin Bonesaw MR, Daniel R., cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, and Octolich, animal rights mages who created the world's first cruelty-free synthetic horses, aka phonies. Sure, it's basically an impossible burger with the Find Familiar spell cast on it, but with the right saddle, horseshoes, and ketchup, you can barely tell the difference. Gay Jim, Richard X Machina, Michael L., Sergio Salazar Solomon, Zacharias de Sequani, and Trask the Traveler, prisoners being held in the basement of the TGI Mondays. They've tried sending for help by hiding messages in cocktail umbrellas, but unfortunately all of the wacky decor on the walls is too distracting, and the visiting adventurers keep failing their perception checks. Sir Carl, Jory S., Dana G., Azoth Shadows, and Calamel, the Weta Gamers. These folks are totally fine with metagaming, but if you don't show up to the session dressed in full Schmeagle makeup, you're fucking done. Jack L, Flawless Whale, Temporal, Sam L, Nicholas C, and Reese NS, an all-horse campaign whose human companions are always getting fucked up. They want a feel for them, but they're just companions and they can get more in the next town. Samuel B, Mike H, Byron Murphy likes to drink curfew, Matthew E, Colton B, and Adam G, a group called Physicists for the More Accurate... To Our Earth Physics Spells. It's a really hairy title, but an even worse acronym, and some on the inside suggest calling it PFDOMATOPS for short, just isn't going to catch on. Megan S., Mateo C., Nabadger, Panama James, Cummins the Bards, and Adrian the Halfling Bard, a party that is so scared of metagaming they roll with disadvantage at all times. When they get a nat 20, they don't even celebrate. They look around and nervously ask, is that okay? Dan, Scott W., Nikki W., Grace G., Drew Nasty, and CC Lulu, the wait staff at DGI Mondays. Look, they've heard the name a million times, they're over it, and they just want the murder mystery you had planned to pivot to their location, please. Barnesinator, Michelle O., Timmy R., Jonathan W., the croc-wearing warrior, and Lucas B., a group of half-elf communist sorcerers who agree that even though private property is theft, being petty when someone borrows a couple hit points from your horse is a human right. Aaron S., it's Kevin, New York, and Stephen C., a forest events fighting over who gets to pledge themselves as the faithful mount of Blastin' Grandma. One might argue a Blastin' Grandma and a forest events could be a fire hazard, but then again, one would think twice before speaking ill of Blastin' Grandma. KJ, Michael M., Mike K., Karen J., Ekathor666, and Nick W., the disciples who joined Dice Christ at the Last Supper. It went down a lot like the other Last Supper, but it was at a D&D table and everyone was mostly just eating snacks, and Dice Christ told everyone that the pretzels were his body and the hummus was his blood. Taylor A., Matthew R., Esme M., Nathan, and Casimir the All-Knowing, a Ruby Fridays that was also in the TGI Mondays town and was the esteemed and not at all jokey location where the DM had a bouquet of revelations for their players Nat 20. Big Bad Beard of the Mad, Eric McD., Thrath, Burly T and Jay Dragonborn, a team of experts who have set out to bring the harsh rules of physics and hard science to the world of D&D. There are no more dragons, but you do get electrocuted if someone does a lightning spell near water. Joe Rowe the Inapropro, Cody B, Liam D, the Sandrayan, Ben A, and Feldonis, the waiters at TGI Mondays. They guard a terrible secret in the basement below the restaurant. They actually use frozen potato skins and not fresh ones. Dave H., Koala Bear, Catherine S., David K., Christian S., and Dustin S., acolytes of Dice Christ who believe every Nat 1 is just a test. They are known to say, when Dice Christ wastes your action, he always leaves a bonus action. Keith K., Connor F., The Time Walker, Vashguard, Two Left Eyes, and Frankie Koala, a board of meat investors who are unsure whether to back Dampire Horse Blood Inc. or Hard One's Horse Emporium. The market is competitive in this terrible, terrible world. Big Bad John, DPC is awesome, Aston S., Blair the Bug Blair Barbarian, Porkchop and Chanel M., a crew of D&D players who are so against metagaming that they refuse to play Dungeons & Dragons at all, for even acknowledging the game is technically speaking out of character. Fury and Hot Pants, Valacy Raptor, Manette F., Pat L., Achutha A., and Lauren H., a group of role players so dedicated that they shriek and piss themselves every time they see a spell cast, because again, knowing what spells are is metagaming. Elias Hawthorne, Maddie Y., Alex H., The Eldest Berry, Evan V., Ryan S., and The Bone Duster, the owners of a Dampier Blood Bank. It's basically a bar that thirsty Dampiers can show up at and order a big old glass of blood. Joshua H., Robit CRSP, Idrisil, Brentley C., Micah B., and Ploops, a crew of adventurers who have set out on D&D's most dangerous mission yet, saving fantasy horses from the clutches of maniacal players and their cruel DMs. Carly Ann, Lori P., Spam Gaming the Not-So-Skilled Gamer, Connor Savage, Russell H., and Christopher J. Pebblepot. Stan Stans, these guys are huge fans of that character Stanley from last week's episode. Remember him? He was fine. Logan S., Leviathan, DeMay A., Biocourt 7, Kenny, and Remington CD, meteorologists who are no longer allowed to play at Micah B's table due to their very high weather IQ. They're a real lightning rod for weather-related conflict, right? Amber K., Thrill of the Fright, Everett P., Trub Hopdropper, Sydney T., and the Element God, members of the Bailiff Guild who are all out for blood after Thomas McSee called their brethren Jake a bottom feeder. Normally the Bailiffs aim to keep order, but they're about to bring the chaos. Lindsay W., Champ Wild, Valen, Sprite Pepsi, Carlin C., and Anthony S., the metagamer Please Please. That's right, these upstanding folks guard the table against players who guard the table against metagaming. How's that for meta? Tristan C., the loose but obtuse goose, Jake, Emily S., the new petty king of Outerborough CC, and Matthew J., servers at TGI Mondays. And just like Gianni P.'s players, they are also kind of salty that nothing is going on at TGI Mondays. Script Scripper, Michael S., the bone duster, Noah, Wyatt B., Estelle, and Ghost, chefs at TGI Mondays who, unbeknownst to the servers and Gianni's players, are up to no good. Rogue Cree, Daniel N., Baroness, Sebastian's romance partner from the Baronies, Mr. Dude Sky, and Conflicted DM, also are conflicted about giving up their first dice, which roll insanely well. Unlike Ricardo, though, Daniel owns an oops all 20s die, which really should be retired, or at the very least, let me roll with it. Justin LB, Connor P, Dandy, Jennifer R, and Clifton A, Dampiers, who all carry tiny little miniature ponies to snack on during long fights. Don't worry, though, they only ever take a nibble, and even the horses are cool with it. Richard G, M Barber, Marcus P, Pub Kalash, Learns the Balance Druid, and Dakota JP, an army of Ents commanded by Blasting Grandma. Each Ent is a different class of barbarian, so Grandma gets 6 extra attacks, but again, Grandma cannot be told no. Go get him, Grandma. Pagos V, Tracy P, A Very Big Bed 91, Tyler B, Scrumpy Bogpipe, and Zachary R, believers in Dice Christ who celebrate Dice Christ's birthday every January 20th, because the date 120 is sacred amongst all who revel in the cruelty and benevolence of the D20, as we all know. Thank you all so much for listening. You can head on over to our Patreon to listen to some bonus cases. That's patreon.com/nadpod. We'll be back next week with another episode and another short rest. Thank you to all of our listeners, everyone who submitted questions, all of our Patreon subscribers, and of course, our benevolent Council of Elders. We'll catch you all next time.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.